Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record Program Number 650, interview with Lucy Commissar about the causes of the crash of 2008. This is being recorded on October 26th of the year 2008, and once again, it's my pleasure and privilege to bring back to our airwaves investigative journalist Lucy Commissar. Lucy, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much.
In the wake of the collapse of 2008, so to speak, I think that's a fair term. I think a lot of people who might not have been inclined to pay attention to what some of the financial giants are doing behind the scenes, a lot of people who might not have been inclined to pay attention to what the man behind the curtain, borrowing a phrase from The Wizard of Oz, was doing, but some of them might be paying attention or willing to pay a lot more attention to what's going on now. Lucy, I'd like to have you review for us a couple of terms that you discussed on Side 1, and then explain how the fundamental corruption, and I think that's a fair term, of the securities market stems from some of these gambits. What is short selling? What is naked short selling? And then take it from there about the phantom securities, so to speak.
Yes. Short selling is when the seller sells the stock that he or she does not own, sells it to a buyer who thinks that he or she is getting it, but isn't really, because under the rules of the Depository Trust Corporation, which handles the trading, they have a loan system where the brokers who have, on behalf of their clients, are holding various stocks, loan them into a pool. They do this because they get a commission, so that the seller's broker can take that stock and send it over to the buyer's broker. However, the owner of the stock still thinks that he owns the stock, and he really does, or she, and the buyer now thinks that he or she owns the stock. So we have the same stock with two possible owners. And supposedly, the stock is supposed to be obtained by the seller within 3 days, so that seller can put the stock back in the loan pool and replace the stock that was borrowed. In naked short selling, they never buy the stock. They sell it, and they never buy it to deliver it. And so this loan stock still exists in the portfolios of the buyer and of the person who loaned out the stock. And one way you can see how significant that is that people that have stocks think that they have the right to vote at the annual meetings, generally held every spring. And their brokers provide for them the forms that they use to how they have to say how they're going to vote. Very often they just check the names of the board because there's no contest, but sometimes there are real contests. There are issues of mergers and acquisitions. There can be real issues. So they want to vote. Well, what happens is when the people who do the tallying of the votes look at them, they discover there are many more votes than there are shares. There was a study in 2005, and a transfer agent who deals with this issue, the transfers of shares, looked at 341 companies to see how many had excess proxies over the outstanding legal shares. Everyone had counterfeit proxies. That means there were counterfeit shares for every one of those companies. People had shares that really weren't shares. And they were being voted by both the borrower and the lender, and sometimes on important matters. In one case, a company called, this is a famous company, so interesting that it happened to it, Taser International in Scottsdale, makes the tasers. They were raided by a short-selling hedge fund. They got into a proxy fight at the shareholders' meeting. There were 60 million legally outstanding shares. There were 80 million proxy shares that showed up. So people were trying to exercise control of this company without legal ownership of the assets. Suzanne Trimbath, who is an analyst who has investigated some of this, used to work for the Depository Trust Company. She raised the issue with her bosses in 1993. She said they're not interested. Well, the directors of the DTC, the Depository Trust Corporation, were the top officials of Lehman Brothers, Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, UBS, Wachovia, Merrill Lynch, State Street Corporation, Credit Suisse First Boston, the Bank of New York. They were making a lot of money out of this lending process. And in fact, 93 was the year that Clinton's Treasury Secretary, Robert Rubin, who had been a managing partner of Goldman Sachs, he issued an exemption to the short sale borrow rule so that if you were a hedge fund, a market maker, or you did arbitrage, you didn't have to locate the stocks for shorting. Now, let me tell you what a market maker is, another term that's important. A market maker is a bank or brokerage company that will purchase the stock from a seller even if it doesn't have a buyer for it, and in doing so, it's making a market for the stock. Different companies are assigned to different stock. So one Goldman Sachs can be, as it was, a market maker for Fannie Mae, and another big company is a market maker for another company that has stocks that are traded. So because of Robert Rubin, these market makers, including, of course, Goldman Sachs, his own, did not have to go by the rules of having to find the stock to deliver when their clients, when they were involved in a trade, a short selling trade, where it had been sold without buying it. Then it had been before, it had not been legal to lend, except securities that were held in private accounts. In 96, they changed it so that pension funds could lend stocks to short sellers. And finally, there was some criticism in 2004, and the SEC adopted Regulation SHO, and that said short sellers had to at least locate the securities they were going to borrow before selling it, and if there were a lot of naked shorts, they would restrict the shorting. But the market makers, such as Goldman Sachs, were not included in this, and there were no penalties at all. So that Suzanne Trimbath, who's done the studies on this, said that the failure to deliver stocks, meaning naked short selling, went in 1995, it was $1.4 billion. In 2007, a dozen years later, it was $13 billion. 1.4 to 13 fails to deliver. That meant basically these are counterfeit stocks, and they are not real stocks because they don't exist except in somebody's imagination. Well, who wins on this? The short sellers, the DTC, the Depository Trust Company wins, and the brokers win because they make a lot of money selling shares that don't exist. And this has destroyed dozens of companies, maybe more. It is believed to have had a big impact on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, and the SEC knows about the naked short selling, which is illegal, except now for the market makers. It has done nothing about this. And there was an interesting test case happened in 2005. A guy named Robert Simpson, he was CEO of Zan Corporation. It's a Michigan technology company. Its shares went 98% drop in 2 years, and he was very suspicious. So he found a stock which was very, very cheap. For $5,000, he bought more than 1 million shares of Global Links, which was a property development company, obviously selling just for, you know, fractions of the penny. He got delivery of the shares, which turned out to be 127,000 more than the company had ever issued. So he owned 100% plus of the shares. A day later, more than 37 million shares of the company were traded. A day after that, over 22 million shares were traded. None of them were his shares. They were all counterfeit shares. And that was solid proof. But the SEC has done nothing. Now, this also affects bonds. And here's that first area, the companies suffer and investors suffer. Here is where the municipalities and the U.S. government suffer. They do the same thing on bonds. And because if there is short selling of bonds, the people that own the bonds or think they own the bonds, when they get dividends, these are tax-free if it's a municipality or a federal government. So they file in their taxes that they have gotten a dividend on some bond that was issued by Columbus, Ohio. But what's happening is their broker never really got the bond. And so what the broker is doing is just paying a dividend with his or her own money. and the buyer doesn't know that. Well, because meanwhile, the person that bought the bond gave the money to the broker, but the broker, as I said, never bought the bond, and so basically just used the money. And when they sent the dividends for a bond, that's much less than this broker would have had to pay a bank to borrow that money. So the broker just keeps the money for him or herself and just tells the person, this is your dividend. Now, as a result of all of this, people who think they own bonds, and it's not their fault when they file their taxes, they're failing to pay $1.5 billion a year in federal taxes because they don't really have tax-free dividends. They just got money from their broker. And also, this shows that the broker was trying to buy the bond, couldn't get it. This shows there's a bigger market for municipal bonds than the bonds that exist. So the municipalities could be selling more bonds and getting the cash. Instead of that, the brokers get the cash. So this is how this system of short selling, of trading in counterfeit bonds and counterfeit shares, hurts people that live in cities, as well as the investors and the pension funds who are being hurt by the stock prices.
Early last summer, Lucy, I thought the SEC did take some sort of action about naked short selling. Didn't they either...
Just for a few weeks, when things were crashing, and as soon as they made the... It was for about 900 companies, financial companies and others, not for all companies.
Right.
And as soon as the agreement, the bailout agreement was signed, this rule was canceled. So there's no more ban on short selling. And this, the SEC knows about the problem of short selling because all of the information about the numbers of shares that are traded, they get that, but they just refuse to do something. Now, what's interesting, Harvey Pitt was Bush's first SEC chairman, 2001-2003. He didn't do anything about this, but in November, he gave a talk in Washington, and he said, this is a quote, "Phantom shares created by naked shorting are analogous to counterfeit money." And that's to hear it from Harvey Pitt is very interesting. Of course, you know, he did nothing while he was in power, and this, but it is being recognized now. And when critics were talking about it, it wasn't just Pitt. It was William Donaldson. It was Christopher Cox. They have ignored this issue altogether. So, as we in other aspects of this crash, such as the derivatives issue, these issues are just coming to the fore now because they really are part of the market manipulation, the general market manipulation that caused this crash. And the New York Stock Exchange is also guilty for not doing it. It has to know that. When it collects information about trading, that the shares that are supposedly trading are all owned by registered institutions. The major pension funds and institutions have to register their shares. And sometimes they are registered and they're not trading them, and the trades are going on above the number of shares that are owned. You could see from the study I mentioned, just taking 341, every single one of them had too many proxies, meaning there were too many shares. There are billions of shares that are not legally settled through this settlement system. And so that is a major issue, which is part of the manipulation, the market manipulation. So there's another area, but perhaps you might have some questions or things you want to mention, because this credit default swap, which is almost like a nuclear bomb waiting to drop, that also uses this issue of naked short selling, but we could talk about that separately. That has to do with the derivatives.
I'd like to talk about those. Lucy, I'd like to talk about both of those terms. I'd like to backtrack just a little bit, though, and have you define a couple of things for members of the audience. You made a reference to a proxy fight. If you could briefly synopsize for us, so what is a proxy fight? So that people could, was it Taser? Was that the corporation that had the...
Well, that was a particular one where there were 20 million more shares that wanted a vote than actually existed. When you get a you have a share, when there's a meeting, you have a proxy, which means you have a vote, and most people don't show up in person to cast their vote. So the proxy means they will sign however they want their vote to be cast, and then they send it into the company. That is their proxy, meaning I'm not coming to the meeting. Here's my proxy. This is how I want to vote. So therefore, when people send in their proxies, meaning the representation of how they want to vote because they're not going to the meeting, if there are more proxies than outstanding shares, something is wrong. And there have been cases where there have been fights at the annual meeting involving takeovers or other issues of importance, and there are more ballots cast in the vote than actually exist in shares.
A stunning state of affairs under the circumstances.
Absolutely.
Lucy, what is a hedge fund? We've heard a lot about the role of hedge funds in the markets and in the roller coaster ride that they've been taking. For myself and for other people who are not knowledgeable about these things, what is a hedge fund?
It's an investment fund for very, very rich individuals and pension funds, because usually the minimum investment is about $5 million. So it's not we're not going and putting our money in the hedge fund. The word came up because they were supposed to be buying things that would, a hedge means if you buy X share, but maybe that'll go down and there's something else you can buy, because if the first share goes down, this one's probably going to go up. So you hedge your bet. So it came out of that. It means they hedge their bet. And that's why they do these fancy derivatives, because they were trying to hedge. If one thing went up or down, the other would go in the other direction, and you wouldn't lose your money. Supposedly, you'd make a profit out of that. So that's what a hedge fund. And the other thing is, a large number of them are offshore. About a third of them are in Grand Cayman, and they are offshore in order to hide what they're doing from regulators, and also in order to evade taxes.
And Lucy, too, one of the devices that have been fingered by many analysts in the collapse of the markets were things that you just spoke about, derivatives, and what was the other one?
Using derivatives, there's something called a credit default swap.
That was it, yes.
That is, it's involved with derivatives, and maybe I can explain it in this way. They're contracts. Credit default swaps are contracts between dealers on stocks, bonds, mortgage-backed securities, and it works like this. You are Merrill Lynch, and I am Lehman Brothers. You and I decide we're going to short sell a stock. I agree. That means we're going to sell it without having it. I agree to write a contract to you that says in 5 years I will deliver to you 10 million shares of XYZ on January 1st. You write a agree to write a contract to deliver to me 10 million shares on January 2nd. We never exchange a dime. We just write a contract. We are allowed to hedge that contract by actually short selling 10 million shares of XYZ that we don't have, even though we don't own them. 20 million counterfeit shares just got sold. In the end, they tear up the contracts because the money is made from the naked short selling, because the price is forced down. And, of course, the most money, most profit is if the security declines to zero. So if some of these companies have been attacked or put out of business, that's even better. But it is again, bizarre that they can do this. Now, Christopher Cox, the head of the SEC, says the SEC doesn't regulate contracts. These are contracts. When they sell the equity into the market as a hedge, the SEC has control, but it has ignored it. And so there's no authority over this credit default swap market. Now, the reason that it is very scary is that, and even Cox now is scared about it. By the way, Cox has said, this is a quote, a recent quote, because the credit default swap buyers don't have to own the bond or the debt instrument or the stock upon which the contract is based, they can effectively naked short, that is, sell and never deliver, the debt of the companies without any restriction, meaning in this case the stock or bond, potentially causing market disruption, destabilizing the companies. Of course, the company shares will plummet if they sell short. And the numbers of these swap contracts are estimated, and he used these numbers, 58 to 62 trillion. So let's just say in the middle, 60 trillion. Well, all the U.S. public retirement accounts are 17 trillion. All the publicly traded stocks on all the major global stock exchanges, 60 trillion. The same 60 trillion as in the credit default swaps that are totally unregulated. And we don't know what is there. They're largely moved by the hedge funds. This is going to be the next crisis, and it's provoked by this naked short selling because they sell short the actual equities that underlie the swap contracts, even though, because supposedly they're going to get it in 5 years. So now they're selling it, and they're saying, well, the other guy promised to deliver me $10 million in 5 years, so I can actually sell short this $10 million. But the other guy said, guy A promised to sell me $10 million in 5 years plus one, so I can short sell this. Do you really believe this happens? This is the market manipulation that is allowed by our market. And this is scary because of the money that is involved, because who buys these? Pension fund buy these? Because they are a big investor in hedge funds. And these are the pensions of all of us, of people out there. And by the way, once they do this hedge, this contract, the brokers can, each of them can sell the contract to another party. And then that party is allowed to hedge against the shares by short selling. So I think this is legalized fraud. And it is not controlled by anybody. It has been allowed to go on. It's not controlled by the SEC. There's no regulation. There are no laws. And yet Cox now says he will ask Congress to regulate the market for credit default swaps. But it has been going on, and so many people who are making so much money that the people in charge did nothing about it. One point that I think is very interesting, I was talking with an expert who looks into these issues and also particularly credit default swaps, and he said, money in Wall Street does not vaporize in a financial crisis. It's just transferred from the investors to those Wall Street participants who benefit from market crashes. Now, these naked default swap contracts and other kinds of naked short selling, there's an incentive for a small number of profiteers in these naked short positions to crash the value of the underlying security, because then they don't have to ever supply the stock that they have sold. But this crashes the U.S. economy. But then they can conceal the fact that they have basically stolen money from the financial system by selling securities they created from sham contracts. Because as we see, you sell me $10 million, I sell you $10 million. It's a sham contract. So a lot of this money, you know, this paper, when people make trades, there is paper. And this is another job now for perhaps the next administration, to find out who did this market manipulation, who made these fraudulent deals, and who is behind it. One problem, of course, is that the hedge funds that are offshore, it makes it hard to find out what they're really doing. And the big broker dealers who have been involved, who've made a lot of money, they also have an interest in not cooperating. But that would be the thing that has to happen. They can't. There is not a reason for hedging securities that the people, that the two parties don't own. There's no hedge because there's no risk. But it's a fantasy. These sham contracts that they are now hedging. So, if there was going to be a credit default swap, it has to be based on real assets that are owned by either side. And these credit default swaps, that are unregulated, they also tend to be off-balance sheet transactions. They're done through special purpose enterprises. Remember Enron special purpose vehicles? Well, that's who runs this. That's how it gets taken care of. They don't report these. There are no regulations about reporting them. So they use special accounts and trusts and special purpose vehicles, and that's where the manipulated money ends up, because we both know that many of these will be offshore, sitting in the Cayman Islands or the British Virgin Islands. Now, someone like Henry Paulson, he was the top executive at Goldman Sachs. Don't you think he knows how this works? Goldman Sachs, one of the few left major brokerages, he must understand about the fraudulent credit default swaps, and that the broker dealers, the big brokers, are carrying these transactions off the books. I don't expect the Bush administration to do anything about this, but this is obviously a task for a new Obama administration.
Lucy, very quickly, as I listen to your discussion of these various gambits, it makes me feel, I don't know if stupid is quite the word, but it makes me feel obtuse or naive, and one part of me wants to give voice to the cry of the wounded peon, so to speak. There ought to be a law. You know, I mean, it's astounding listening to you describe this, that any of this is legal. I mean, it sounds not only illegal, but it sounds ludicrous that a financial system could be built on something which really seems to be devoid of integrity when you get right down to it.
Well, of course, but it was designed and run by big companies that were just interested in making money, and who cares about integrity?
Yep.
And the enforcement people, now Cox, they have sat on their hands. They have done nothing, and they have. Even when there were some rules, people like Robert Rubin would come in and weaken the rules or exempt some of the big brokers from those rules. So we had the fox guarding the hen house, as you might say. And because it's so arcane, you had somebody like Warren Buffett in 2002 saying that these derivatives and the credit default swap is kind of a derivative. Because it's derived from something, it's derived from a contract, that they were a nuclear weapon that would, waiting, or some such words.
He used weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
Lucy, we are all out of time here, but I'm sure a lot of members of the audience are going to want to pursue this at greater length and in greater detail. They can do so on your website, can they not? Or will be able to.
CommissarScoop.com.
TheCommissarScoop.com. And if some of this seems confusing, alarming, impenetrable, stunning, I can't encourage listeners strongly enough to go to the website and keep on top of Lucy's unfolding investigations. And you will be able to name some specific names in this context, right, Lucy?
Well, I will.
All righty. We have been visiting.
Well, in addition to people like Rubin, which has been named, and Cox and the others who have been running the SEC. So that's very important. The people that were supposed to protect us were on the side of the people who were manipulating.
Yes, indeed. And we have been visiting with Lucy Commissar, the investigative reporter and the person who runs the Commissar Scoop. We've been talking about some of the hidden factors underlying the crash of 2008. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 650. Being recorded on October 26th of 2008, for Lucy Commissar, this is Dave Emery saying thanks for listening.